Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of Relationship Radio. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today.
You understand that marriage is between two people, but that's not necessarily true because there are many other people who influence a marriage, particularly mom, dad, brother, sister, sometimes even cousins. So how can relatives negatively affect a marriage? We know they can do it positively. What about negatively? We're going to be talking about that today on Relationship Radio.
This is Relationship Radio, an extension of Marriage Helper International, hosted by renowned marriage and relationship expert Dr. Joe Beam and CEO of Marriage Helper, Kimberly Beam Holmes. We answer your questions directly with research-based principles that you can implement immediately. Regardless of the situation, what we teach will not only make your relationships better, but will also help you to become the best version of yourself along the way. Turn up the volume and prepare to take notes as we begin this week's episode of Relationship Radio.
In one of our workshops a few years ago, we were talking about commitment when a young man began to sob. And I asked him, "What did I do? What did I say? I obviously upset you." He said, No. It's just the opposite. You helped me realize that I'm not a fool." What do you mean I helped you realize you're not a fool? Because we've just been talking about commitment and the reasons to be committed to stay in a marriage, even one that's in trouble. He came to realize that his decision to work things out with his wife was a good decision. And the reason that he thought it might be a foolish decision, or at least had been told it was a foolish decision, was by his own family, his parents and his siblings. His wife had cheated on him, and they were very angry, very upset, very hurt, and saying, "You should not try to work this out. You should get rid of her, find a woman that can be trusted." Well, he decided that he would stay, but understand that he did it against the wishes of his family. Interestingly, the day we record this, just this morning, I got a Facebook post from him. It's been 30 years ago, he said, that he first married her, and about 20 years ago when he was in that workshop with us and letting me know just how happy they are. So, Kimberly, think about it. Why would a mom, a dad, brother, sister, somebody that you love, somebody that's related to you, why would they be saying negative things to you about your spouse?
Yeah, well, they think they're well-meaning. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're doing it out of a deep love for you because they care about you. They're definitely biased towards you, towards your future, your well-being. And so as a way to try and protect, they may say negative things about your spouse to try and either get you to make a different decision, or even if you're married, to try and get you to do things differently so that they can, so that you can have the life they want you to have.
Ah, and so sometimes they see your spouse as being a person who's interfering with the life they want you to have.
Sure.
Because of her or because of him, you've decided to do this, you decided to do that. When all of our lives, we expected you to do this right here. And when it comes to marriage difficulty, if your spouse has done anything that causes you pain, it's amazing how often we find then that the relatives of the spouse who has been hurt become vengeful.
Right. Because they are, again, it's that protective mindset. This is my son. This is my daughter. You've hurt them. I don't want you to hurt them again. So I'm going to be mama bear or daddy bear and step in to try and stop that from happening. I mean, that's the mindset behind it. Majority of the time, it is a protection mindset.
So many people know the story about Alice and me that many, many years ago, it's been a long time now, I divorced Alice. I left her. And for 3 years, I lived a very godless lifestyle. After 3 years, I asked her if she'd be willing to marry me again. And she went to her friends and her family. And her family were all absolutely, totally, positively against it. "Don't you dare go back because he'll just do that again. He'll hurt you again." Now, her family are some of the most loving people on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Just generous, kind, loving mm-hmm. people. Good Christian people who were not so much necessarily anti-Joe as they were pro-Alice. Mm. And because Joe had hurt Alice, it's like, no, don't. Now, she decided to marry me anyway. But let's see back in that time, Kimberly. What do you think would have happened if I had said to Alice, she says, okay, my family doesn't want me to do this. What if I'd started blasting her family, saying negative things about them, but, you know, they're just, they're not educated in this, et cetera, et cetera. They've always hated me anyway. All kinds of things I could say negative about her family, whether they were true or not. Mm. Now, you know her because she's your mom.
Mm-hmm. That would not have flown over well.
What do you think she would have done?
Well, I don't know that she would have married you. Because she is a loyal family person. She loves her family.
Mm-hmm.
And if she, you were already divorced. Mm-hmm. And so if she had felt like you were putting her in the position of choosing between you and them,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she would have not chosen her family. But no one should ever have to be in that position.
I agree.
To choose between
but we know
or spouse. Yeah.
That it happens.
We do know it happens.
That sometimes, particularly parents, it can be siblings. Either you, as a matter of fact, sometimes the family will actually give this kind of ultimatum. If you marry him or her, or if you work things out and stay married to him or her, then we're going to disown you. We're going to have nothing to do with you any longer. And as you said, that should never happen. If a parent or a sibling does that, don't you think they're way out of bounds?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do. But a question I have back to you is, what if that child who's getting married is 20 years old and they really are about to marry someone who is bad for them?
I still think that disowning a child would basically put you in a position where that you have cut off contact. It's like, we will no longer act as your parents. You will no longer act as our child. And if you burn that bridge,
yeah.
then what kind of interaction do you have in That's the future?
True. You have no positive, you have no ability to have a positive influence on them later when they need you.
Because the more influential a person is, the greater effect they can have on what a person decides. And so if my mother has a lot of influence on me,
mm-hmm.
she can have a lot of influence over what I decide about marriage or anything else. If my father, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at that and go, okay. So sometimes families will give you advice about mm-hmm. your spouse that is not good advice, not wise advice, but not because they're bad people.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting this advice from them because they love you so very much and they feel that you're either being hurt or about to get hurt and they don't want that to occur. And so what they're going to do is what people would normally do. I want to protect you from the person that I believe is hurting or about to hurt you. Even though their motives will be good and they're good people, the question becomes, should I listen to my family when it comes to my marriage? And of course, the answer has to be, you decide that on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes they're absolutely right, but quite often they're not. And the reason they're not is because they are extremely biased. Good people, but biased people. And biased advice can lead you to make poor decisions. So Kimberly, we run into this now with couples in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes, okay, my parents are saying divorce him,
mm-hmm.
don't have anything to do with him. My parents are saying get rid of her or she wants you back, don't you dare go.
Mm-hmm.
And we got questions about that, right?
All the time.
All the time. So I have a couple of questions about that today. But here's the last thing I would do as a piece of advice to you. If his or her parents are impeding the progress you want to make with your spouse, maybe even stopping it, understand that you're going to have to demonstrate not only your love for your spouse, but unless you want to alienate your spouse by making it family against you, you're going to have to love them as well. And sometimes that can be a little difficult to do. So what are our staff members wanting the first question for today?
Hey, you guys, my name is Ashley Collins and I work on the Facebook admin team for Marriage Helper. Dr. Joe and Kimberly asked me to read a question submitted by one of our listeners for today's episode. This person asks, what do I do when my children, mother, and friends don't want me to reconcile with my ex-husband? I know I made a mistake leaving and we did all the wrong things. I am working on creating boundaries, but I am worried about hurting people's feelings. What do I do?
So in this situation, you have a woman who's saying, I made a mistake. She's admitting and she knows what she wants to do, but everyone in her life wants her to do the opposite. And I would guess here she may be a peacekeeper because she's not wanting to upset anyone or hurt anyone else's feelings.
Right.
One way to respond to them, to her family, even to her kids, depending on how, well, no matter what age they are, is to thank them for loving her, caring about her. And also that's a way to try and align with them on their side instead of starting the conversation with, you can't tell me what to do. I don't know if this woman would do that. But
certainly that's a bad idea.
Certainly it's a bad idea. And instead try and align. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your concern. And even, I mean, is there a point, I guess here's a question for you. Is there a time or a point in asking a family or friend why they have that view?
I think that's an extremely important thing to do, particularly when it's children. Mm. Why don't you want me to go back?
Important.
Oh, yeah. Children are a big deal here. Why do you not want me to go back with him? Why do you want me not to resolve this? And she says, I'm thinking about how to put some boundaries into place, indicates the possibility, maybe even the likelihood, that he, the husband in this particular situation, has done some things he ought not do. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that she's looking at boundaries and that all these important people are telling her, don't go back to him. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound counterintuitive coming from us. But the first thing I recommend is that you examine why they're saying what they're saying, ask them, and then evaluate if they're right. Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds contradictory to how we opened the program, where we're saying your family can be biased and you don't let biased people decide what you do. But at the same time, you may need to consider this. So if the children are saying we're afraid of him, he's going to hurt us again, you really need to evaluate that. Or if the children are saying we have seen him beat you, or we can't handle him coming home drunk anymore, or whatever those things might be, then if you decide you want to progress with this, then make sure you do learn how to do the boundaries. We'll talk about that in a minute. But listen to these people first to see if their motivations and reasons are good and valid reasons. Now, if they're good and valid reasons, you might not want to take the person back, particularly if it puts anybody in danger, physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, you, your children, anybody else that counts, then it might be, well, we can't put this back together until we know there is no danger. But if you discover that it's basically they're just mad at him because he hurt you and there really isn't any danger, then it might be, okay, I'm going to move forward. But if you do, you've got to assure your family that you and your children are going to be safe physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually. So, Kimberly, when we talk about boundaries, we usually use different words, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because people can think of boundaries too much in terms of how to control somebody.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the words we use are stops and cores. So we've broken it into two pieces. And it's stops standing for safeguards that offer protection. And that's really what boundaries should be. It's only a way to protect yourself. And then cores being continuing our relationship essentials. So two different things. But we talk way more about that in our boundaries toolkit. And you can find that by going to marriagehelper.com, going to the courses tab and looking there for the boundaries toolkit. But Joe, I mean, you recently at the date of us filming this completed this boundaries toolkit. I have heard many people on our team who have had a sneak peek at it say it is amazing.
Oh,
tell us more about what you did.
Yeah, because
there.
Usually they say what I do is terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure every person listening is like, he's full of it. That's not true.
When we say safeguard that offers protection, that's what we're saying here. If your children are saying we're worried about ourselves or we're worried about you, then that would require a stop, a safeguard that offers protection. You're protecting somebody. And it's being protected from some specific kind of behavior. What I'm saying here is to understand, not so that we have time to explain stops in great detail here because we don't, but understand that if all these people are saying don't do it, then first, again, I'm being redundant, find out why they're saying it, look at it, and see if there's any true wisdom in what they're telling you. Now, if it's too dangerous, we would not urge you to go back into the marriage. And we are pro-marriage like nobody on the planet. We are very pro-marriage, but we would never encourage somebody to go back into a marriage where they're going to get hurt, because safety is number one. It has to be there for you and your children, and even safety for your spouse. But if you decide you're going to go back, then please get that Boundaries Toolkit. Is that what it's called? Yep. Boundaries Toolkit? Mm-hmm. Where you can learn how to do a stop. In that particular toolkit, it will actually work you through step by step by step whether you should set one, and if you do, how you do it, mm-hmm. the various things you need to consider, and how you implement it, how you tell your spouse about it, how you enforce it. I did 10 videos with that, actually, mm-hmm. 5 videos on the stops and 5 videos on the cores. But if you decide then that it's safe to go back because you have set some boundaries, stops or cores, then you must enforce those. And don't go into that situation where that you thought you were safe and then you allow your spouse to do something that makes it unsafe. You can't allow that to happen. But if you have made up your mind, yes, I can make the boundaries, I can be safe, my children can be safe, this is the right thing to do, then you're going to have to stand really strong against your family. Now let's go back to Alice. What Alice did was she let them know, I'm going to marry Joe again. And I want your support. Well, emotionally, they weren't ready to give it because they were worried. I want your support. And she said, Joe and I will be together on major holidays with our children. Now, you have to understand, in Alice's family, major holidays are like big, big, big things, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, that kind of stuff. She said, if Joe's not welcome with you, that's okay. I understand. But I'll be with Joe on those holidays. Oh, I'll still come around. I'll still bring the kids. But not on those major holidays because they'll be with Joe. And that was her way of saying, I'm going to do this and I expect your support. And so if you decide to do it, if you make that decision, you'll have to then support yourself in the sense of letting your family know, I'm going to do this. And these are going to be the parameters around that. I'm saying that in a way that's making it confusing. Help me clarify that.
It is not confusing. It's clear. How did she know to say that to them?
You mean, did somebody teach her that?
Yeah.
No, she just
did it.
On her own. Alice learned a tremendous amount of strength during a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I take care of myself mm-hmm. and my children? Because I would see them every other weekend, but obviously that's not very much. And she became a very strong person, and that was the decision she made. Mm-hmm. And her best friend said to her, if you marry Joe again, I'll never speak to you again. And the best friend did exactly that. She never spoke to Alice again after Alice married me. That's how strong she was. But she had to be sure of her decision to be that strong.
Yep.
So we have another question, and this one's from a husband. And one of our staff members will read this for us.
Hey, guys. My name is Jordan, and I'm on the client rep team at Marriage Helper. In my role, I typically help guide you to the very best resources that we have that can improve your marriage. Dr. Beam and Kimberly have asked me to read a couple questions that you all have submitted. This first person asks, my wife and I have had a toxic marriage, but both of us were willing to work on it. I chose to separate from my wife without her knowledge to escape a toxic environment that was hurting our 3-year-old daughter. Her family turned against me, and now she's completely cold. What do I do?
First of all, sir, we would recommend that you really stop to think about the impact of that decision you made. You said without her knowledge. Now, we're not quite sure what that means the way you have written it in this question. Does that mean she didn't know you left, like she came home one day and you just were not there? Or did it mean that you didn't tell her why you were separating because you wanted to protect your child from that toxic environment, as you referred to it? Either way, understand that we read this as she was not involved in the decision. It wasn't something you talked about together. It was something you did on your own. Mm. You must begin to understand the impact of that physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually on your wife. And even though your child is 3, on your child as well. So we look at this and go, sometimes people make decisions and do things, and then when consequences occur, they're like, well, I can't believe that happened. You can understand, Kimberly, can't you, why her family would be against him after he, without her knowledge, escaped that, quote, toxic environment, end quote?
Absolutely. And it's unclear here if he took the daughter with him or if he left, like if he was the one being toxic and removed himself from the situation. So, yes, I mean, there's so much here that there should have been a communication. There should have been something that happened. So I do understand why her family is protective, because
Yeah.
What did he just do?
Yeah. And he says we were both willing to work on it. So she was hit with out of the blue. All of a sudden he's gone and she doesn't even know why it is because she was willing to work on the marriage. Now, the family being upset with him makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yeah.
I mean, she was trying to work out things with you and you just left her. I'm going to assume that the child was with her. Okay, that's because that's generally the case. We'll make that assumption. And now he's saying, okay, let's work on it. And she's going, we were working on it. And you just disappeared. Right. You left me alone to take care of my child. And probably, in all likelihood, don't know this for a fact, she probably reached out to her family for support.
For help. Because now she's alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't breed trust on his part to just up and leave like that.
Mm-mm. So it's basically like she knows their love, but she doubts yours. Now, if we sound like we're trying to beat you up, don't misunderstand. We don't try to beat anybody up. But we do sometimes just have to point out people to people, this is the consequence of what you decided to do. And it's sometimes very difficult to rearrange things when you reap what you sow. So, Kimberly, if he's going to get her back, If somehow this marriage is going to work, what has to happen?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that he has to do is reach out to his wife. I mean, there's got to be some kind of an apology or some kind of reconciling. And I don't necessarily mean that in the full way, but in order for the two of you to work this out together, you need to rectify the situation you just made. And then after that, what is this toxic environment he was talking about? I mean, we don't have any indication of what it was.
We don't know what that means.
But both of you need to sit down and identify that and then make the plan of what's going to change, because that has to happen clearly for the marriage to continue moving forward. So figure those things out, make a plan for healing it. You should definitely come to a marriage helper workshop because we can teach them the things to do in that. But yeah, that has to happen.
Because if they don't deal with what he's referring to, whatever it is, as a toxic environment, even if he did convince her to come back and them to work on it, then her family's still going to be against it because of that toxic environment. And you're going to wind up in another mess if you don't fix that. Now, if the toxic environment is something like great anger problems, then maybe you need professional help to deal with that. If it's something like addiction, then maybe you need to go to AA or NA or SA or whichever one based on your addiction, that kind of stuff. But if you're going to put this marriage back together, you have to fix the toxicity. You have to somehow repair that. And then you're going to have to demonstrate, not just to your bride, but you've got to demonstrate to her entire family your love for your wife and for your child. And that they don't need to be worrying anymore about what you're going to do that nobody knows you're about to do. Like you said, without her knowledge, you have to demonstrate consistency. So, Kimberly, it may be that he would have a difficult time getting her to come to our 3-day workshop because of the family. So how could he perhaps persuade her to do that?
Well, actually, I would think maybe it would be easier for him to get her to agree to go because of the family, because he could say, listen, I know your family is hurt. They've been saying these things. Why don't we go get, I don't know if I would say help for our marriage, but why don't we go and learn these principles, help you decide what you want to do, taking what your family has said into account so that you will know you've made the best decision moving forward, no matter what happens. I think I'd use that in the,
yeah, unless it only takes 3 days. And by the end of those 3 days, we'll have a pretty good idea of what we want to do next. And if the wife is saying, you're so toxic that I don't want to be in the same room with you, then we would recommend you do the online version.
Right. The solo spouse one.
Well, no, I'm saying that.
Oh, the couples one online together.
Right. So they don't. We have an in-person workshop we do here in the Nashville area right now. And if you come to that, you'll have to have hotel rooms. If you don't live here, of course, hotel rooms, rental cars, airfare, all that kind of thing. Whereas they could come to our online version of the workshop and she wouldn't have to be in the same room with him or the same house with him if they feel it's that toxic. Now, again, if the toxicity is something that needs professional help, like an addiction or like anger or abuse, those kinds of things, then we would heartily recommend that you find the right solution for that first. But then if you come to the workshop, we can show you a lot of things about how you got to where you are and how you fix it. Just understand the workshop is not therapy or counseling. It's educational. Now, Kimberly, you mentioned the solo spouse workshop. Mm-hmm. That would be if his wife doesn't want to do this, right?
Not at all. Right. If she just bows out completely and says, nope, you have screwed up big time. I don't even want to talk to you right now. Then it is absolutely worth it for him to go through that Save My Marriage immersive experience where he gets the course and the workshop plus the coaching so that he can start doing the right things to help him learn how to, I don't want to say undo, but recover the damage that has been done. Mm-hmm. And it's the best thing he can do for her then. Now, I will say, of course, we always say the couples workshop is the best. If you can get your spouse to go with you, that is the best first starting right. point. But for those people who are saying, but I can't, and they just keep saying no, my spouse just keeps saying no. That's why we created the solo spouse, so that you can still do something now. You don't have to wait. It's still powerful. It has a different type of success rate, which we're currently in the middle of evaluating, but it's still going to be incredibly effective for you as an individual.
At the very least, stop being toxic. You can do that whether you get any kind of help or not. Well, I take that back. You may have to have some help to stop being toxic based on what the toxicity is. Stop being toxic. Demonstrate your love. But in the situation that you, without her knowledge, ended or separated, we would also demonstrate your consistency. Demonstrate your trustworthiness so she doesn't have to wonder, what the heck is he going to do next? Okay, so Kimberly, what are the key takeaways from today?
The first one is, remember that people who love you can give you bad advice because they love you, because they are trying to protect you. But it doesn't mean the advice is always right. The second is, do not try and turn your spouse against their relatives who may be turned against you.
Yeah, that backfires big time.
Backfires big time. What's that saying? You win more flies with honey than
vinegar.
Vinegar. That's it. We're also not calling her family flies, but there we go.
Yeah, nor vinegar. Nor
the third is, stand up to your relatives for your spouse. So if it's the opposite side of this and it's your relative saying the negative things or the bad things, you need to be the one to set the boundaries there. And then finally, demonstrate the changes that you make to everyone involved. The families involved are more likely to be accepting and supportive of the marriage when they believe it's a healthy marriage for both people. So do what you can to become that great spouse.
Thank you, Kimberly. Now, in the next episode of Relationship Radio, we get this question a lot. My spouse and I are having great difficulties. Maybe one of them's even living someplace else. Maybe one of them's having an affair. It might be something else, but we're at this point not really together. But my spouse wants to have sex with me. Should I have sex? Should I sleep with my straying spouse? Interesting topic. We've got a couple of questions about that we'll answer in the next episode. Kimberly, I will see you again in the next episode of Relationship Radio.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Relationship Radio. Please refer to the notes in the description to learn more about any resources mentioned in this episode. Please visit our website at marriagehelper.com for more information about our online courses, marriage workshops, and coaching. We exist to help save marriages and strengthen families. We look forward to interacting with you on the next episode of Relationship Radio.